I'm sure you might have heard about a 19th century evangelist, Mr. George Mueller. The most impressive thing about him that I found was that he never sent any public appeal for funds, and rather he would say all his requests to the Lord. Out of the many stories that I heard about him, a peculiar story comes into my mind, wherein there was a time when he was running an orphanage for about 300 orphans, and it happened there was no food that morning. And Mr. George Mueller asked the children to be seated, and he prayed. As soon as he prayed, there was a knock on the door, and it was the local baker. He had come over to give a few loaves of bread. It seems the baker said God had woken him up in the middle of the night and asked him to prepare bread for the orphanage. After some time, there was another knock on the door, and this time it was a milkman. And it happened the milkman's cart, the wheel broke, and he had to give that milk, and he thought the best thing is to give the milk to the orphanage before it gets spoiled. I was so amazed by the story of this man who did so many wondrous things, and he never appealed for his needs publicly, and everything he prayed to the Lord. And if you research about him, you will see quite a few remarkable things. He has provided for around 10,000 orphans, and he has educated, he has set up schools for 117 schools, and thereby training 120,000 kids. And all this without any human intervention or any help from, but rather he prayed to the Lord. When I read Psalms 86, this incident came into my mind. This Psalms 86, if you see, the title says, Prayer of David. You know David very well. David was the king of Israel, and he was a man, as per 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, says, a man after God's own heart. A man who was selected by God to rule the people of Israel, and through his lineage, our Lord Jesus Christ was born on this earth. Today, we will learn a few things from this prayer. Even though this prayer does not mention what was the peculiar circumstances in which David wrote this, but it seems David was in great trouble. He had even the fear of death in his life when he was writing this. So it may be, it is not specifically mentioned what is the problem, but it can be any of his life incidents. That is also encouragement for us that this Psalms can be applicable for my life and your life. In Psalms 86, when we go through it, we understand it's a Psalms written by a man of prayer who had a proper perspective. He understood that God hears him and he is able to provide for his needs. And he understood that God is bigger than all his problems. So, if we have to take anything from the Psalms, we can take one thing, that God is bigger than all our problems that we face. This Psalms starts with the reference to his situation, verses 1 to 7, and ends also with the same. It is referencing to his problems that he have. And in the center from 8 to 13, we see he is completely focused on God and his devotion to God. Today, I want to share few things from verses 1 to 7. Let us read Psalms 86, verse 1 to 7. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. May the Lord add his blessing on the reading of his word to all of us. The first four verses, we see why God should listen to David's prayer. That's what he is trying to explain. Why God should listen to his prayer. We see in verse 1, "For I am poor and needy." Verse 1 says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." He tells that God, you should listen to my prayer, for I am poor and needy. We see here David with all humility, he's coming to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need your help." Isaiah 57 verse 15 says like this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble heart, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." The moment when you read humility, a verse that comes into my mind is 1 Peter 5 verse 6. "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Humble yourself. Humility. The Lord looks and hears the prayer of the humble. Again, James chapter 4 verse 6, we read, "God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." God gives abundant grace to the humble. Probably David was aware of all this, that he has to come into God's presence with all humility because he resists the proud. And David believed that God will hear his prayer because he is coming with all humility. Second reason that he believes God will hear his prayer in verse 2. "Preserve my soul, for I am holy." Oh, David, there goes your humility. Are you claiming yourself to be self-righteous? No, David is not claiming himself to be self-righteous. If you further read, "O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee." David is not claiming to be self-righteous, but rather he is claiming he is set apart for holy use. Therefore, let not his enemies overcome him. Let me explain to you this further in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 11. Paul is writing to Timothy and he's advising something, and he's addressing in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 11. He says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Here we see Paul was not insinuating Timothy that he was sinless or he was perfect, but rather Paul was telling him that your purpose of life is that you should be set apart for holiness. "Timothy, my son, you should not walk in unrighteousness, but rather you should pursue godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." So David is praying, "Please hear my prayer, O Lord, for I am set apart to be holy, set apart from worldliness in my life." Like, for example, an ambassador of Canada, example. If you are appointed an ambassador of Canada and you are posted to Russia, so your interest is to serve Canada, not Russia. You are set apart to work for the interest of Canada in that land. Similarly, David is saying, "I am set apart for holiness. I am set apart from worldliness in my life." And this was the same criteria which Jesus promoted in the prayer. It says in John chapter 14 verse 13 says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Let us also read 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 says, "And if we know that He hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that. Sorry. First John chapter 5 verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So we see here, if we ask anything according to his will, God has promised, I will hear you. Here David is saying, Lord, I am set apart for your holiness. Please hear me. Can we echo what David prayed? Lord, you should answer me, for because I am set apart for you and I am set apart to live for you. The third reason David gives why the Lord should hear him is in verse 3, Psalms 86 verse 3. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. David goes to the Lord not with an assumption whether the Lord will hear him, but he was very sure that he will not leave the Lord's presence without God answering him. Let me turn your attention to Luke chapter 18 verse 1 to 8. The Lord is giving an example, a parable in Luke chapter 18, and he's telling how we should pray. Luke chapter 18 verses 1 to 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regarded man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Here the Lord is telling how to pray. We should not faint in praying. Do not be discouraged in prayer. That's what the Lord is telling. Paul is telling in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17, pray without ceasing. Paul is not referring that you shouldn't be continuously praying, but he should be you should remember that Lord is with you and he knows what is your need, and your attitude in your life should be that he is aware that he is with you always, and he's actively involved in your thoughts and your work and your actions. So here we see David is saying, I will cry out unto you daily, Lord, hear me. Fourth reason that he is saying why the Lord should hear his prayer in verse 4. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. We see here David's extreme trust on God. Verse 1 we saw, he is showing his humility. I am humble and needy, that's why the Lord should hear him. Second verse we see, I am holy. Some of the translation we can see, I am godly man, I am your servant. He shows his submissiveness to the Lord. Third thing we saw is that his devotion. I will cry out unto you, Lord, daily. I will not leave you until you hear my prayer. He shows his devotion. Now we saw his faith. I lift up my soul. That's why the Lord should answer me. He has entrusted the most precious thing that he has, his soul, to the Lord. And he's saying, Lord, I have entrusted to you my soul. Lord, that's why you should hear me. Let me turn your attention to Romans chapter 8 verse 32. Romans chapter 8 verse 32. Let's see what is there in the New Testament for us. On this says, Romans chapter 8 verse 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Here, Paul is explaining, when the Lord has saved you from the sin, he is able to provide for all the things that are required. Now, this verse can be misquoted or or be taken out of context. Some of the prosperity gospel teachers may say, he is able to provide you all things. It's not about material things. MacArthur, John MacArthur says about all things, says, let me quote for you, whatever is necessary to complete the purpose he had in choosing us. That's what is mentioned, all things. If you go up, what is the purpose the Lord has called us? We see in verse 29, in the same chapter, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, to be conformed to the image of his son. That is the purpose the Lord has saved you and me, to be conformed to the purpose, to be conformed to the image of his son. So we see, when you have entrusted your most precious thing to the Lord, Lord has said, I am there with you and I will provide whatever is required to be for you and me to be conformed to the image of his son, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. James 5 verse 16 says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So we saw from the New Testament that we are the Lord hears the cry of a humble, and we are told to pray according to his will, and the Lord is will respond to his elect when they cry out to him day and night. So pray continuously, do not be discouraged. And we saw in James chapter 5 verse 16, prayer of a righteous man accomplish much. But for a New Testament believer, there is much more encouragement, because when we come to the Lord with prayer, we are clothed with the righteousness that the Lord has given to us. So the Lord has special care for his believers. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 is a very famous verse for all of us. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and grace to find grace to help in the time of need. So the Lord is asking us, come boldly to the throne of grace, because therein you and me will receive grace and mercy for at the time of your need and my need. So the Lord has promised us. And we see in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Christ is our anchor, and through him we can come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace, that we have a interceded for us, who is continuously praying, interceding on our behalf to God the Father. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19 to 22, we read like this, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled down from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Here we see the scriptures is asking us to come boldly, because therein you and me will receive grace and mercy for us in the time of our need. Finally, in verse 5 and 6, we see why David reveals why he will come to God alone in prayer. Why he will come to God in prayer. We see verse 5 says, for thou, Lord, art good. For you, O Lord, are good. That's why David is saying, because you are good, I will come to you. The word good is quite used so commonly for us. When I came to Canada, the first phrase or the common phrase that I learned from when I landed here was, sounds good. It sounds good. We never used that when we were Middle East. So, sounds good. But we see the word good in Genesis, it was used in Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 when the Lord completed his creation. Let me turn your attention to Genesis chapter 1 verse 31. Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 reads like this. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So, if you read verse 1 and 2, we will understand what was so good about that. Let me read Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 and 2 says, "Thus heaven and the earth were finished and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." So we see here, when God proclaimed it is good, it means there is nothing more to be added. There was nothing missing. So it was perfect. So we see David saying, "I will come to you, for you are good." This is the same definition that Jesus gives to the young rich ruler that we see in Matthew chapter 19 verse 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 19 verse 16 and 17 says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? For there is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandment." Here we see God is good. God is good because he is God. We can see so many world leaders. Recently I was seeing a biography of Mahatma Gandhi, and they had so many good things about him, but there was something bad also. So all world leaders, including us, we are not perfect, we are not good, but there is only one good, and that is God. We see in Romans chapter 3 verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." All mankind have sinned. Every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And David, when he prayed, "For you, O Lord, are good," he's saying, there is no one else to whom I should come. No one else is good. No one else can take that place, place of God. That's what we see in that verse. And that is the best reason to come to God in prayer. Second reason why David is saying why he will come to the Lord we see in verse 5. Second portion says, "And ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." So we see David is coming to God in prayer because he is ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." We should come to the Lord because he is ready to forgive. Previously we saw in Romans chapter 1, we saw that nobody is righteous. Everybody have sinned. And we saw here, he is a Lord who is good and is ready to forgive. Even though our sins may be red as scarlet, the Lord has promised by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, your sins and my sins can be cleansed. We have to put our faith on our Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." He is able to save you even though you are in the uttermost part of the earth. Even though your sins may be so red and scarlet, he is still able to forgive you, and he is ready to forgive you from all your sins when you put your trust in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ that he did on the cross. And here we see there is pardon with God. And the second part of it said, he is plenteous in mercy. When we approach to God, let us remember, he is a deliverer. He is not a deliverer who has no mercy. He is a deliverer who has a mercy in his side. And we see he is a savior who holds no grudge against us. So let us come boldly, and because he is good and he is ready to forgive. And in verse 6 and 7, he is reiterating his request to the Lord. Verse 6 and 7 says, "Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." Here we see David. He is so confident. Lord, you will answer me. He's pointing out so many points why the Lord will answer me. And we see he's giving out his supplication to the Lord, and he is very confident that he is going to get an answer from the Lord. Do we have the same confidence in the Lord when we are on our knees, when on our personal prayer, when we are on our knees, when we gather as a family at our home to pray? Are we having the same confidence when we meet together corporately on a Wednesday prayer meeting, when we approach the Lord? We understood from this passage why the God should hear your prayer, why we should come to the Lord in prayer. May these verses help our spiritual journey, and maybe we may be more fervent in our spiritual life. May His name be glorified.